Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's a perfect weather here in the capital. We have no clue where you're listening from, but we just do appreciate that you are tuned in at this time of the day. And whatever reason made you tune in, whether you are bored or you just find us very informative, thank you very much. Among other reasons why you choose to tune into Eagle FM or Home Run, to be specific, thank you. And we do appreciate you tuning in wherever you're tuned in from. It's a Friday, and the sun is headed the direction of setting. It's 4:34. So that means Friday, if you are not if you are not sitting in studio like yours truly here, in which case then you are not listening, or if you are want to get something out of the way before the weekend distractions come, whatever it is, we're here. All you just have to do is tune in via the app or frequency. Now. But if you are driving home, drive safe. And these are exciting times, the festive seasons. When does the festive season start? Because it's something that I just like singing left, right, and center. Festive season. I have no clue what that means. So don't judge me. So these are busy and exciting times. Christmas, New Year, and everything's around the corner. So it's much, it's very easy. You'll be tempted to drive like Vin Diesel, but relax. You are still you. You are still Helmut. You are still Nangolo. You are not Vin Diesel. You are still, I don't know why I went for Nangolo, but I apologize to all the Nangolos out there. So, I know there's, we have one as a former president. That was a terrible choice.
You are on your own with that one, Helmut. You're on your own.
On Friday of all days.
Of all days, on this lovely Friday. You now have to implicate all Nangolos.
I know. Eish, I mean, one is bad enough, but plural?
Yeah. Guys, this is Friday.
Stop doing this.
I know it's the start of it's the first week of this month, but hey, the shots were just friendly fire. Don't worry. There's nothing that a good session of the Home Run will not heal.
Yeah.
After the same session, technically kicked out your front teeth. Mm-hmm. We're sorry for that. Welcome, guys. And Helmut, you were still saying about besides the driving skills of people.
Drive safe. Watch where you're going, and just be safe out there, because we want you to keep tuning in, to keep listening. So let's talk energy. Not energy, not energy per se. Today's discussion is based on, October was loaded with events.
No, Helmut, this discussion is loaded itself.
Yeah.
The title itself is misleading. Here's the thing, Helmut.
Isn't it part of why it's loaded? Because, first of all, economy alone. Yes, one giant topic.
Yeah.
Now throw in renewable energy, green hydrogen. I was like, hang on a second. Seriously? This one heck of a cocktail?
Yeah, but they came and focused it on an African discussion. And once again, Helmut, it plays into the age-old trope. And I'm calling this a trope. Mm-hmm. The word trope obviously means this is a sort of like a what's that phrase that we sometimes use? It's like saying something to make it sort of like sound like it is happening, but it's actually not happening. But the reason why I'm using the word trope in this discussion is primarily that the term circular economy is the whole economy.
Yep.
They break the planners, whoever, obviously, they break a piece away from the discussion of circular economy and focus on renewable energy, green hydrogen, and renewable energy, green hydrogen. What was the other thing?
have renewable energy, renewable energy and the green hydrogen. But they did now. That's just in the ICERA abbreviation.
Yeah,
yeah. But deeper in the conversation, they did talk about green hydrogen policy and legal financial frameworks, energy transition, industry strategies, and health, cultural. You know, what's this? There's one that I'm missing that I think is also very important. Recycling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said that. That's why I opened up with my sentence. This particular discussion, and I listened to the three, you know, even the German scientists, technically, you know, the homeboy is not German. Technically speaking, he's not German. But anyway, you know,
now that's you.
Yeah, we keep, you know, we keep the friendly fire still in the friendly cordon off situation.
Yeah.
But the German scientists, or the guy that started off with this presentation, he obviously started off with an African perspective, but then I sat there thinking, man, the circular economy sounds weird. The circular economy is not about solar panels and about wind, you know, finding renewable energy from other renewable sources. And it's not about biomass discussion. Because, Helmut, why are we talking about biomass if the whole idea is about the protection of the environment? The whole climate change discussion is about the protection of the environment. But you're talking about biomass. And biomass in many cases has to do with the supposed, with the identified, I almost said supposed, the identified pervasive, invasive plant species in Namibia, for example.
Yeah.
And in other scenarios, the agricultural waste that is created. Now, I don't know to what extent do we create as much. They say there's supposedly a statistic, but, you know, this Google search is lying to it in its own right because it's not clearly saying what is the quantity of biomass that we create or biomass waste that we create? But there is some waste that Namibia creates. That there is an idea. We are creating it. Now, the reason why I'm stating that this is a misleading particular discussion, misleading in its context, because it's not really speaking to our actual need. Our actual need is industrialization.
That's where you see. That's where you find. That's where this whole discussion goes back to the. Becomes very regular in terms of.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of pointing to the the energy transition discussion, because in whatever aspect you try to have the energy transition discussion, it always brings you back to that between the rock and hard place type of scenario where there are well established sources of energy, most of which are non-green.
Mm.
That will help you, that will help you transition faster in terms of, not in terms of energy transition, but in terms of economic, economic advancement.
Yeah.
But if you are able to employ the newly and still very, 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 unreliable, most of them right now, like, take solar, for example.
Yeah.
With a weather like this, you're cooked. Now,
And in that right now, with solar, where does the solar panel come from? We don't make the thing. We already had that discussion, you and I.
Yeah, we buy a lot of them from China.
Exactly.
But,
so we already, and what is it made from? From oil, the black gold.
A lot of minerals that, you want to guess where most of them come from?
China.
No, the minerals.
Oh, the minerals. No, from here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, they leave in raw format. But we're still talking about renewable energy. And the infrastructure to the energy source. Helmut.
Look, hang on a second. I think I just understood the whole concept of we will create employment. Now, to be fair.
Yeah.
These guys are just saying we will create employment. They are not saying where. It could be Germany, China. Now, they are creating employment. Not here.
I thank you, Helmut, for.
I apologize, guys.
For seeing the light bulb moment. Because I sat there looking at the whole video and I was like, okay, circular economy. Now, the word circular already implies there's a circle. It moves in a circle.
Yeah.
But then I keep realizing, but isn't that not the thing that I saw on a short YouTube video of this? There's a girl, she posts, the video's title was, "You live in Denmark, but you are supposedly or you're apparently poor." And all this girl did, Helmut, was she woke up the morning you know, most how these influencers go. Mm-hmm. She wakes up the morning with the video obviously showing
you. I stop watching as soon as they start talking and doing their makeup.
No. Okay. No. She's not doing any makeup.
Because
the moment you hear there's a song playing, mm-hmm. and they just give you a short title to read.
Yeah.
She wakes up, Kama, you know, from her bed, gets up, gets dressed, collects all the garbage in her, that's in her dustbin, you know, her flat dustbin.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's unemployed. I obviously can't, you know, verify that from Namibia in Windhoek, you know, almost 30,000 kilometers away from Denmark,
yeah.
From Copenhagen, Denmark. But she gets up, packs in her garbage, you know, the waste in her kitchen dustbin, walks to a facility, but it's like there in a shopping area center situation. And it's got these three machines, but it looks like three vending machines, né? Each of them, you know what a vending machine that the opening is where you've got to collect the product that you bought,
yeah.
that you put money in for.
Yeah, their low opening.
Yeah, it's at the bottom.
Yeah.
But this vending machine has an opening at the top, you know, at eye height level. And then I see the lady, and then it's three machines. Oh no, it's four machines actually. The one says paper, the one says plastic, and the other one says glass. And the other one goes like other, you know, like tin cans and metal products.
Yeah.
And she puts one in, she puts an item into each of these machines.
So you're like sorting them out.
Yeah. That's also what the Japanese do.
Yeah.
Okay. But after the outbreak, I'll finish off the story. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Now, where were you with your story?
So, the lady then approaches these four, like, vending machines at the shopping center.
Yeah.
And she's, but like I said, the openings, it's not a conventional vending machine where the opening is at the bottom where you collect what you put the money in for.
Mm-hmm.
This is at eye height level, and she's depositing, you know, trash into each of these machines as she's obviously sorting them. She gets a slip from each one of them that has a monetary value on it. So you don't get cash. You just get a slip that says, here's X amount of value of trash that you put in.
Yeah.
And she walks into the nearest shop and she does her shopping. Now, is that not circular economy, Helmut? You bought a can of Coke. You use the can of Coke. You put it in your dustbin. The next day you go sort out your trash. And you get remunerated for that. Is that not circular economy, Helmut?
That's interesting.
So, when I sat there watching what this IKERA or ICERA conference was about, I was like, why are you talking about renewable energy? But the guys are already doing renewable energy. They're already telling NamPower, we want to sell to the SADC power pool. Why are you trying to talk about circular economy, renewable energy and biomass and all this and green hydrogen? These are not the things, Helmut, that the everyday Namibian can participate in. But what the everyday Namibian participates in is the waste around them. The waste around them. Helmut, you don't need rocket science. You didn't need a conference to explain this to you. You actually just need a concerted economic plan to approach this. You see, Helmut, I actually saw the plan. You remember the ease of business discussion?
Yeah.
Where that economist, Mr. Brown, Roland Brown, explained how young people show up to his office,
you know,
and say,
brilliant,
I've got a wonderful idea.
That's how all unemployment things is.
To create jobs. My idea is this and this. And then it just asks, how will you make money?
Yeah.
To pay for those jobs. If this idea is so wonderful. Well, I just found
it. The very important point that he also made, very reasonable one, if you are planning on going the direction of basically not just a business, but anything that you would like to generate revenue from, is how are you going to keep it running? It's about sustainability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, now, even if, take for example, I'm interested in giving you startup capital, all I want to know is, how sustainable is this?
Exactly.
Because I don't want to keep bailing you out. Like, the public sector is very good at that. I don't want to keep bailing you out.
In Namibia.
Yeah. I don't want to keep bailing
it's
you out.
It's so easy. They are public sector. You're right. Yeah. They are the public sector.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to keep bailing you out like the late in Namibia. And then you just, And the government went to the point of, you know what? This bailing out is not working anymore. Just let the ship sink. Yeah. So if you are relying on, on the Ministry of Finance to sort of, work out some mathematics every year to bail you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not much of your headache. But if you are running private and you don't have that luxury, then you really have to think, hard and, to make sure that you are crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's to ensure that, okay, you know what, this is how I'm going to keep it sustainable.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to employ, 100 people today, and then 2-3 years down the line, you're closing shop and then bidding everyone goodbye because you didn't think things through. So the question of how you're planning on making money, it's a very annoying one, but it's the most important one.
Yes, it's the most important one, Howard, but what I'm actually also showing, because let's say, for example, in the discussion, the broader discussion of thinking about the circular economy. The circular economy, Helmut, is based around you and me and every other person around here. This is not about thinking strategically even. This is also sometimes what annoys me about scientists sometimes. They go look for the most far-fetched, hardest, most difficult
example,
concept and thing to think of. And then you just go like, just go stand outside and look at the weather. Well, what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to be, what's that thing that we learned in research methodology? Trying to be explorative. Explorative research, is first of its kind. You are exploring an idea, a concept. Now, Helmut, if we're not making the solar panel and we're not making the wind turbine with its wind blades, with its wind mast, what are we doing? What are we actually doing? Having a conference and just giving everyone a lovely buffet? And they're telling me, here you go, guys. It's nice, Nice, nice. Because if you even look at the who's driving the green hydrogen discussion in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's not the public sector. It's not the Namibian government. It's not even a minister.
It's not Africa.
Yes. Because it never was an African idea, it never was a Namibian idea, and it never was an indigenous idea. Who needs it? Who needs it? Not Namibia. Namibia, we don't know what to do with this thing. We don't know how to use this thing. Yeah,
because we have ammonia for agriculture.
Where? When you and I did that discussion before the private public forum discussion, when we looked at, how literally a public sector regulation can literally be a stumbling block for the most wonderful idea in Namibia. And it involves creating a fertilizer from seaweed.
Yep.
You remember that discussion about that court case? I went and read the court case. And then I came and told you what was the issue there. It was because the minister did not react after the registrar to the act or that particular department had rejected the registration of the product. And because the act is older than Namibia. And the act was last updated in the 80s. So Namibia wants to tell the world that human innovation and technological developments in fertilizer development and research and development in science, procedures, and methods have not advanced since the 80s? Who is Namibia? Let's firstly ask that question. Who in Afrikaans we say, wie is Namibia?
Wie what now?
Wie is Namibia? Who is Namibia? In German, the translation would be, du bist Namibia. Or du hast. Well, you know, one of those other things. It's one of the downsides of having the heritage, you know. On both sides. But anyway, when you ask the question, who is Namibia? To look down on a technological process, which is completely environmentally friendly, Helmut. Completely environmentally friendly.
Yeah, it is.
Completely. Everything from start, from growing, to processing into the fertilizer.
Yeah.
And guess what? The whole of the world is buying the thing. It's just Namibia, who has a ministry who was proven by its sister agency, which is an oversight agency, the Auditor General's Office of Namibia, to have been in conflict to Namibia's own environmental laws.
Protection, yeah.
Now, we sit there, Hamad. Okay, you and I sit here. We sit here and we ask ourselves, what's going on in this country? Do we actually have people in ministerial offices who have to register private sector innovations and products and methods of doing something new? Do we actually know what these guys, what is their background? Are they competent? And I don't like using that word competent, but are they competent enough? Helmut, that's the reason why I walked in here already with my mind made up that there was a completely different presentation taking place 2 weeks ago in Windhoek at that conference.
There are two things that you find fascinating that will basically, you know, that will make me totally understand why you have that point of view on the whole conference, because the conference is is dated to for 21st to 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then 23rd to 25th.
Yeah.
That was an exploration tour to basically these green energy related initiatives to see, what's going on.
Yeah.
More like a touring on the ground, like, okay, this is what we were talking about for the past 2 days.
Exactly.
Then you now...
It's the same thing they did with the space science as well. You know, one day of talking and conferencing,
mm-hmm.
and then the other Let's 4 days was, you know, field tours to show, you know, all the particular facilities.
Now, look, I don't have
which is good.
No, I don't have. I also don't have a problem with them playing Columbus, but
We didn't have Columbus, Helmut.
I'm never getting a job in this.
We didn't have Columbus, Helmut.
Well, it's exploring. Oh,
we had Jan van Riebeek,
Diego
Sao.
Huh?
Sao. It's like the Chinese word. Their seism was that weird sea that has a little tail at the bottom.
Diego.
That's why Mozambique is not Mozam with a Z in English. It's Mozambique. That's how the Portuguese pronounce it. Its actual name?
Diego what now?
Diogo Sao.
Huh.
I know.
It sounds like chow. And I'm hungry.
So no, but for the Chinese, they would say Cao.
No. Diego Sao.
Yeah, there was a great Chinese, famous general back with the Romance of the Three Kingdoms discussion known as Cao Cao. And I kept reading the guy's name as Cao Cao.
Sounds like a dog barking, dude.
And I kept telling myself this name does not sound right. Cao Cao. So yeah.
Chinese and embassy is right here. So.
I'm talking about I don't know if the character existed, you know, thousands of years back, this Chinese general, Cao Cao. He was supposedly the great, strategist. But anyway.
Military strategist.
That's why the title of the book series is so misleading. The Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And you're like, Three Kingdoms having a romance, and then you find out it's a whole bunch of wars that they're fighting.
Yeah, kingdoms. That's the romance that you'd expect from kingdoms. Wars.
Yeah, that's the kind of digital love that they need. getting to know each other pretty intricately, yes.
Well, at the tip end of a spear.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and a sword.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you were still saying
actually,
that.
Yeah, actually was an art. Now, look, the exploration and stuff is all very interesting.
Mm.
But there's a part of a presentation, like, you know, there's a, okay. The presentation that later turned into a panel discussion, you know, for questions and answers, basically. Because how it worked was that they will call someone to explain something, the impact or analysis on on cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, like green energy related as part of the energy initiative. He explained a lot of things on EV status in Namibia and the problem statement where he pointed out that the growing adoption of electric vehicles in Namibia support national sustainable goals but poses new technical challenges to the existing power network, which I was like, duh.
But we have less than 100 electric vehicles in this country.
Okay, first of all, I'm looking at it from the side, I'm looking at it from the point of view of how much power costs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, how long does it take to...
Break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vintook, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. Just the time is a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is proudly brought to us by ICERA, or the International Conference on Circular Economy, Renewable Energy and Green Hydrogen in Africa. Now, there's something interesting that was said about these energies, EV implementation in Namibia. But this was more in Windhoek, because everything is centralized in Namibia. It starts here, then it spreads everywhere else. So back to the statement as a whole reads as follows: the growing adoption of electric vehicles EV in Namibia supports. Supports national sustainable goals, but poses a new technical challenge to the existing power network. The city of Windhoek power network was not designed for the additional and variable EV charging demand, which may cause transformer overloading, voltage deviation, and increased system losses. But we knew from day one that we import most of our energy.
Yeah.
That's not rocket science. Yeah. So in other words, we jumped a few steps before we got to the EV. We first did not sort out the energy demand that is going to come with the adoption of this technology before adopting the technology.
Exactly.
We just went straight to adopting the technology and then crossed our fingers and hope.
Or we
these problems don't start arising.
Well, it's not even an adoption thing, Hamad. Let's, for example, say this. So there is already a presence of hybrid cars in this country. One of my brothers has a hybrid car. A hybrid car means its power unit Yeah. Its power generation unit is still a combustion engine.
Yeah.
But then it has a battery storage system.
Mm.
Do you know where the technology comes from?
Where?
Formula One. So Formula One has two intellectual properties known as the drag resistance system, the DRS system, and the KERS system, K-E-R-S, kinetic energy release or something system, the R. I'm just not sure about that. So a DRS is technically like the release function for the buildup of kinetic energy that is stored on the car. So,
and talking about a Formula One car, that's a lot of kinetic energy.
Yes. So they already have a petrol engine. So that's a V6 engine most now because of the environmental presence and footprint that F1 tries to now abide by. They came down from a V8.
Energy transition.
From a V8.
Net zero, blah, blah, blah.
No, but there's already the electronic formula.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to be E-formula guys. The E-formula guys have their own circuit and their own calendar.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to be, last year, biggest sort of like pun situation, Eskom was having load shedding in South Africa and Eskom was the lead sponsor for the E-formula in Cape Town. And it was a city circuit. And the whole of South Africa was going, but we don't have power and you're hosting an electric car competition in Cape Town, which is suffering regular load shedding.
We're not very good at thinking these things too, are we?
No, we're not. So anyway, getting back to the aim of the discussion. So Formula One developed the DRS and the KERS system.
Yeah.
So what happens is that they realize as a certain part of the race, because it's a battery that has to charge up as the car is moving throughout the whole circuit, driving the whole course.
Yeah.
And it's about, I think, like 5 laps that the car has to drive and then the battery is fully charged.
Okay. So the battery charging system is connected to the combustion engine so that it charges. How does it charge?
That's why I said kinetic energy.
It's connected
to the wheels.
Connected directly?
Yes. Jeez, so it's the wheels of the car charging the battery. Not the engine of the car. Because that would have been like one, it would have then, if you think about
extra load on the engine.
Yes. Think of it like a parasite,
Yeah.
So as you are now, as a driver, you're now looking for oomph from the engine in a straight line.
Yeah.
And now suddenly this is what the KERS system does. It pulls down performance. No engineer would have allowed such a particular thing if the whole aim was to try and be faster than the competition.
Yeah.
So they connected it to the wheels. Cause you brake stop the whole time. Mm-hmm. This is now obviously as the driver is now busy racing.
Yeah.
And firstly, they had a rule by where you can only use it once a race, but now it's based upon a template that everyone has the same particular technology and everyone has to, charge this battery as the race continues. So you can release your KERS system or your DRS system whenever you want during the race, if you needed to get that competitive advantage in the race. And that's where this hybrid technology for cars comes through. So Lexus has it already. Mm. So that's a Toyota technology. Then Toyota rolls it out in its other technologies. You now find it also in a lot of the Mercedes Benzes. If you see that VW? I think that's VW. But there's a little tag on the car at the back.
Yeah. And Nissan has them.
Nissan has them as well. But then what did we do when it came to full electric cars? We started importing a thing. And then I sat there sitting at that City of Windhoek, electronic vehicle or e-vehicle thing of last year in August. And there's a gentleman that gets up and he says, yeah, you've got a charging point in every house across the country. And the first thing I'm thinking about is, who will allow me to charge my electric vehicle at their house as I'm driving through Namibia?
Yeah, one question. Let's start with one. Have you seen the price of electricity? Two. Who the heck is going to open their doors for you to say, okay, oh, you are stuck in the middle of nowhere. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, just please do come in.
And if you know that for one of the cars, the maximum mileage, none of them that run in Namibia have reached 500 kilometers.
For EVs?
One charge, a full battery charge.
Yeah.
None of them reach 500.
Is he,
all these EVs here that people see in Namibia?
Yeah.
None of them reach 500 kilometers.
You see, I think that that technology is best for adoption by countries like Rwanda.
Or.
Because Namibia.
Or, here's the thing.
You work in Kitmas.
No, you have a house in Kitmas.
Yeah.
And you have a house in Windhoek for you to charge at both points.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you now, Kitmans does not have the malls that have installed the same EV technology. There's almost three malls. Our former colleague wrote an article about these charging stations in Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
So you find it at two of the malls here in Namibia, or at one mall, I think, and at another, and then City of Windhoek went and released theirs.
Yeah.
But here's the big question, Helmut. You arrive in Windhoek, let's say from Kitmans. That is 400 kilometers away. Your battery's full range is 335 kilometers. From where we sit here in Klein Windhoek,
yeah,
at the studio, to Kitmans up in a straight line, is almost 500 kilometers.
You'll have to somehow find a charging station somewhere.
Now, do you see the headache? So yes, your statement is correct. We didn't even try to sort out infrastructure in between. We jumped to usage at the end. Yeah, it looked novel. Yes, I want to be a game changer. Well, being a game changer is like, for example, like Dwight was before he got, you know, rolled over by an Audi on his scooter, you know, a good 7 years back, no, 10 years back. I was a game changer in my own little right, because I was like, why must I buy a car if I can buy a scooter for $15,000?
Mm-hmm.
You buy a scooter, $250, how much your scooter's tank is full of petrol and the fumes, obviously, of the petrol, because it does this to the needle. The needle just, you can see the needle wants to shoot off the dial, literally that thing, full tank needle.
Yeah.
And you can drive for a whole week on that scooter, but obviously we're not in Malaysia. We're not in Thailand. We're not in Indonesia. You know, where people fit the dog, the cat, the goat, wife, the other three children onto the same motorcycle, and they're driving up and down, you know, commuting. Everyone gets off at their stop, and then the husband goes to work. We're obviously not in such a situation, but there's nothing wrong with such a situation. There's literally nothing wrong, because you know what? I could use $50 a week for petrol on that combustion, that small combustion engine. Hence the reason why the hypothesis that I started.
That's how much I use a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And $50 for a cab is going to a spot that's not a taxi rank or a designated stop. Let's say you're going home,
mm-hmm,
and you're coming straight back to where you were taken from.
Yep.
So it's 26. And then you're even $2 more expensive with a cab. So when we look at the electric vehicle discussion, it's about regular charging stations at every interval, just like you have regular filling stations across the country. But now ask yourself, do you think the councillors in Grootfontein are thinking that far ahead?
I would hope so.
I don't think so. I can tell you convincingly today, I don't think so. Do you think the councillors at Karibab are thinking that far ahead? I don't think so either.
You know, this event is called what? International Conference.
Yeah.
International Conference on Circular Economy, Renewable Energies, and Green Hydrogen in Africa. Now, this is something that was held, held in Namibia. Now, I'm looking at all those, the list of what the abbreviations stand for. So, you have a circular economy. You have renewable energies and green hydrogen. Green hydrogen falls under renewable energy.
Yes.
So,
but green hydrogen is actually not about energy production.
It's about more than energy, because we understand what ammonia also is one of the byproducts.
Actually, it is about energy production, but it's not the energy that we think, or at first, like I thought at the start in 2022.
Energy is in electricity.
Yeah, you're using generally in your house, you're using in your car. Ah, it will obviously get to the mainstream rollout for the car,
for your bus, for your plane.
Mm-hmm.
The downside was it's a discussion of, in a Namibian, in an African context,
yeah,
as an export product. So we're once again sitting with the issue that we sat with before this notion of this conference, even.
Okay. Okay.
That Africa is known for three things. It's cheap labor. I will keep hitting this song. Cheap labor, cheap resource, cheap land.
There's a fourth one you're missing.
Which one?
Signing for international agreements without reading. Now, there's a reason. Now.
That's why the labor is cheap, Amut. Even if it's the politician showing up to sign for the thing. That's okay. Also labor, Moss.
Now. See, this is why I started with an example, with the example of 2025 net zero by 2050 International Energy Agency report.
Mm.
There's a section there that caught my attention. Now, they want to point out now, COP30, you have, you know, where the countries meet annually to give each other assurances, like this is what my country is doing in terms of energy transition, this is what what's your country doing, and then they basically compile that and produce one of those reports that you and I basically have to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish that statement on the other side of the commercial break.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So we continue. Where was I? 2025 net zero report by the International Energy Agency. Just by the beginning of that report, they point out that the gap between rhetoric and action needs to close if we have a fighting chance of reaching net zero by 2050. By 2050 and limiting the rise in global temperature to 1.5 degrees. The gap between rhetoric, in other words, the gap between what we say and what we do, needs to close if we have a fighting chance of reaching a net zero by 2050 and limiting the rise in global temperature to 1.5 degrees. That fits into, you know, COP30 and the 2015 Paris Agreements discussions. Now, doing so requires nothing short of total transformation to the energy system that underpin our economies. And those emphasis are on purpose. We'll get back to that in a few. Says the transform our economies, and which underpins our economies. Now, doing so, the transition. Now, the moving from rhetoric, aka moving from just from words to action. requires nothing short of total transformation of energy systems to underpin energy systems that underpins our economy. So you now have a very interesting link here, which is not rocket science, because for you, and I think we have spoken about this several times, based on different reports, basically, of which the International Energy Agency, a lot of those reports are coming mostly either from the International Atomic Energy Agency or the International Energy Agency. Mm. The point is, one thing that an economy needs, whether you're building it or you have already built one, you want to sustain it, is you need affordable energy.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You don't want, no, you need.
And then, Helmut, so we're first starting with, and that's the part that is a little bit confusing. We're starting with circular economy, but we're only saying renewable energy and green hydrogen.
In other words, we want a circular economy that's thriving.
Just there.
Just on a, oh, really?
That's just there.
I have one more question.
And then they talk about biomass. Throw in biomass. I will bring up the most obvious example biomass goes wrong.
I'm sorry, what happened to energy mix?
Exactly. What happened to energy mix? So, and this conference obviously doesn't say you must move away from energy mix discussion.
I know
it doesn't. Yeah. But it's a good question you're asking. What happened to energy mix?
The reason why I brought up the very simple sustainability of building or running an economy, of why energy is a very significant part of it, is because, you are a multimillionaire living somewhere in Monaco. You want to open up a business. You want to open up a business. Take for example, you want to set up an assembly plant or a processing plant in Namibia. You go through all the legal, ups and downs, you are all sorted with that. Then now you are trying to. Then you look at how much energy, just energy alone, it will cost you to run this, run this processing plant. How much will it cost you per year? And now you are doing the math, because at the end of the day, it must give you a good return on investment.
Mm.
It's a business 101. Mm. Because if it's not giving me a positive return on investment, then that business is unsustainable. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
So, here we are, knowing fully well if you want to now knowing fully well that building or running any economy requires affordable energy, then we are looking at this affordable energy strictly from from the look of things, strictly from green energy. Now I think it's safe to say that green energy is a very noble idea. It's a very noble one.
Mm.
Except anything green, from energy to vehicles or machines, is insanely expensive.
Yeah.
And we did talk about, was that last year when we were talking about comparing prices between and cars of the same make and model and size, comparing a traditional internal combustion engine and an electric cars.
Mm.
The prices of an electric car.
No. There's only one brand new electric car in this market.
How much is that compared to, take for example, its internal combustion engine counterpart of the same size, of the same brand?
Same size?
Mm-hmm.
There's like a 300,000 difference. 300,000 million dollar difference.
Now, how much
money? And I'm not even touching on the BMW variant of an electric car. There's a BMW electric car. It's known as the i3 the i3 or something like that.
So it's safe to say that a transformation, the transformation discussion is a very noble one. But the money it's very expensive to do, which is why I think it's, you find a lot of countries being reluctant.
Mm.
I think halfway through the energy transition, even on a global level, we started, shifting from, let's just focus on green energy to, I think we could use some energy mix. That's when, that's where nuclear energy now comes in.
Mm.
And this gradual transition instead of an instant one, because, every country on this planet would risk an economic collapse if they went straight to instant green energy transition.
But that's what Germany is doing to itself.
Oh yeah, that's a perfect example.
Yeah, this is what Germany is doing to itself. Helmut.
You have industry shutting down, but because everyone is going, you know what? I like the idea of transition, but this is too expensive for me to stay in business.
No, but do you know what they're literally doing? They're literally, everyone is now supposedly saying in certain realms, okay, let me explain the context. So I see a lot of, because I follow a lot of hydrogen developments across the world. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else in the world, there's a lot of negativity popping up about green hydrogen's production and feasibility. In the European context, the Europeans are literally telling themselves, we're going to push this thing through.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. We're going to literally decouple from or de-link from any fossil fuel usage to become
hence the CBAM initiatives, yeah.
Not just the CBAM initiatives, which is also another thing that's making Norway angry, because Norway is a major gas exporter.
The CBAM?
Not just the CBAM.
CBAM is basically the Norwegians.
The decoupling. The whole reason for Norway's prosperity.
Yeah.
Because Norway is the world's largest. It's Norway, it's Saudi Arabia, and it's China, and there's another country that have the world's largest sovereign wealth funds that get its payments from fossil fuel sales. The Norwegian one is the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
The Norwegians themselves have to now try and explain, and they know themselves that the gas will be phased out. So then who uses the gas? You can't sell it to Russia. Russia has its own gas.
Russia has a ton of it.
Yeah. They can only internally use it because primarily gas in the northern hemisphere is used for heating.
Yeah.
They need it for heating. Heating and cooking. That's it. Now we sit with gas. Well, we don't know what to do with gas. With our gas.
Yeah, because Mother Nature already did the heating for us.
That too. And plus our climate is a lot warmer than theirs.
Yeah.
So, which technically tells everyone else, unless you try to sell it as a cooking method, which is the only way it could be sold and used.
Yeah.
But gas helmet could have also solved a lot of Namibia's heating issues. For example, for our geysers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because geysers are electricity guzzling machines.
Now we wish to solve our electricity issue with the sun being on the whole day. Yeah, sure. And still we're not getting the gas to power. Oh, and I found out. Remember when we did the Kudu gas discussion?
Uh-huh.
The company that is part of the development process. It's a Norwegian company. It's a Norwegian company.
Why did my jaw stay in place?
So
did not drop at all.
Yes, it's a good thing that we obviously are partnering, that the country has partnered with a company that has experience from its home market in Norway on gas to power. But we haven't seen the gas to power, and it's been on the books, and it's been on the cards, and it's, like you explained, it sounds, it seems to sound nice on paper.
Practical.
But when we wait for the thing, it's just not rolling out. Why is it not being rolled out? What's taking so long? Those plans that you and I dissected, was it Ministry of Mines about the gas to power, the Kudu gas discussion?
Yeah.
Those plans are like, almost 10 years old. So for 10 years, we've just been spitballing and, being polluters from our mouths by dispensing carbon dioxide the whole time. And we're not actually getting into the realm.
So
if we really had an energy security discussion,
yeah,
we would have enabled Kudu gas. We have not enabled Kudu gas
to power. No, we will as soon as we find foreign investors.
But then what are these? These guys have access to the world's largest sovereign wealth fund. Access to an investor? They have access to the world's largest sovereign wealth fund. Because the Norwegians are 5 million, Namibia is 3 million. We could have uplifted so many Namibians. We could have done the China miracle, the Chinese miracle, 10, 20 years ago. just with Kudu Gas. We could have achieved that a long time ago.
Yeah, but that requires a significant investment.
And every time we've had the people, we've had Japanese here, we've had
Americans, Russians, Brits here.
And every time, somehow, Kudu Gas is just not feasible.
Yeah.
We could have achieved gas to power production a long time ago. Yeah, we would have had a big carbon footprint, but we could have achieved it a long time ago. So for some reason, now I've got to go look for open land. Buy infrastructure to close to 100,000, and bankrupt myself as well in between, and then try to generate electricity. And the only person I can sell to is just NamPower. I can't even just take myself off the grid because NamPower wants me to say, no, I need to plug you in. No, but I don't want to be plugged in anyway. I want to produce for me.
No, this is how things works here. We must be plugged in.
No, but Helmut, that's the thing. That's why Namibia doesn't make sense. That's the beauty of Namibia's madness. And it's comical. I know your other day job is being a comedian. But look at the scenario. Just look at this madness. Just factor this madness in.
Yeah.
So you realize electricity importation on your budget as a household, as a homeowner, is becoming a problem because in between there's such a long line of middlemen. Mm-hmm. City of Windhoek doesn't produce electricity. A regional electricity distributor doesn't generate electricity. NamPower, it's sketchy. You know, it's sketchy because I'm in Windhoek. I haven't seen Von Eck on. So I put a question mark on whether or not they are actually producing electricity. And even though they went and inaugurated Anigas, which is not energy production, because technically it's just a massive solar panel field. Mm-hmm. And then they was trying to build the biomass thing there somewhere in Ochotonchupa region. And biomass to me just translates to burning of plant material.
Yep.
So technically, how does that play in Namibia's environmental carbon footprint discussion?
It doesn't.
And the independent power producers are told, you must just sell to
us. Figure out where to store it first. That's what they have to figure out.
Now, Helmut, here's the thing about technological developments for the good. Its whole aim is being for good use. Is that a solar panel's use was obviously it was meant for space, for the space station.
Yeah.
Because there's not a power
cable. Don't have to worry about
there's
clouds.
Not a power cable and a power bank that you can fly from Earth's surface to go and recharge things there. No. They realized the sun is hanging there. Make solar panels so that the thing can generate its electricity.
Even if you had a cable that long.
Yeah, in between there would have been a few drunk birds and pilots and situations, you know. And then how many times do you think that cable would have been cut? And in between there are asteroids floating about.
Not just that. That satellite is going to be yanked in a...
The power station, not satellite.
Yeah.
The power station element, not satellite. It'll be yanked from the sky.
Going to be yanked from the sky because, first of all, the Earth is rotating.
Yeah. And besides, there are also flying objects outside of Earth.
Uh-huh.
Flying about.
How much does it cost to make one then launch it?
Oh, billions.
And then maintain it?
Oh, billions.
The electricity you are going to produce.
It's not Namibia's budget, don't worry. It's not Namibia's.
That's going to be the most expensive electricity.
It's not in Hendrik Witbooi's, don't worry. It's in Benjamin Franklin's. So it's not in Hendrik Witbooi's. Don't worry. So when you look at that explainer you just now gave there. So now the solar panel gets made. The solar panel is not even made on Africa. I still have to identify if there are South Africans that are actually manufactured, but the solar panel is not even made on Africa. Now it's imported from Europe or from Asia, from China.
Yeah.
So solar panel comes here. Now you're being told, yes, the whole idea is if you're going to install a solar panel at your house, whether it's a corrugated iron shack or whether it's a full-on brick and mortar structure, NamPower must be able to pull power from that thing. Here's the thing, Helmut.
But and is that like mandatory?
It's one of the requirements, Moss, for this renewable energy discussion. Here's the thing, Helmut.
The whole idea of solar panels and how solar panels are sold is for residential use.
Yeah, I would assume.
To empower the ordinary person. To empower said ordinary person would mean that this person has the responsibility to go and say, hey, you know what? Snip. I don't want to pay electricity. I'd rather pay just for water because I can't, you know, I don't know if there's an aquifer below my house, but you know what? I'd rather pay just for water than pay for electricity.
That's a giant economic question if it's done in large numbers.
Exactly. So what is the first obvious thing that you do as a regulator and as the government? You go and impose a particular rule that says the government or the regulator must pull electricity from whatever you're producing that's on your private land.
What if that's just enough for me to charge my cell phone, a laptop?
But that's just what you want. And you want your TV on at night and you want your, you know, you're going to use one light in one room and you're going to just stay in one compartment of your house or your dwelling. So you don't want the rest of the power.
Yeah.
You don't want an open-ended account. You don't want a scenario where you're buying credits that says, oh yes, we will allow you to be on, but you see the sun is on the whole day.
Oh dear.
Now ask yourself that philosophic question. If the technology had already been introduced into consumer levels or for consumption levels or ordinary consumer levels, why are we making things difficult for people to find their path to their own economic upliftment? If I could see there in with that cultural tourism tour, where I saw five guys right next to each other at each one of their, at their homesteads, each one making their own bricks. Now, if I see that level of liberal activity, which is based upon, I'm not selling the brick, but we all are making our own brick for our own use.
Yeah.
So who's benefiting? The retailer who's selling the cement. The retailer who's selling this. Okay, but, okay, sometimes you buy the right sand. But sometimes the guy just goes, but you know what? Sand is sand. Now, you ask yourself the question, why are there these unnecessary impediments in between? Now, here is another crux, Helmut. So obviously you know that when you look at the circular economy level and the explainer that I gave you about the girl that made that short video saying she's supposedly unemployed and she only lives off, there's no money. The only money is on the paper, but she's not holding on to money.
It's not hard cash.
It's not hard cash.
Okay, so what the machine dispenses after you...
It's a token.
It's
like a token thing, and all you do is you take that, and then the shop steward scans it. They've got scanning. It's got a QR code. It's got scanning capabilities.
Yeah.
And then you can buy. We could have sorted out so many particular inequalities in Namibia.
That's interesting.
Why? Because we produce so much trash, so much garbage, so much rubbish as humans. We could have had this circular economy present. Now here's the thing, Ahmed. And this is the thing that I love the best. So the notion of a circular economy, I went and looked at a UN explainer. The UN explainer is vague. Super vague. It's so vague, it's as clear as daylight. Okay, I sit there. Okay, I go like, okay, fine. But then I look at the resources that they are trying to
cite,
that they cite, you know, their own literature. I look at the titles and it's just in niche markets. Markets that me, Dwight, sitting here, I cannot participate in. I cannot go to biomass and just go say, hey, listen, I would like to change my life. I'd like to see myself making more money or earning another living in biomass. No. There is either you must have the land, and we saw now what happened with Etosha. It was identified who was responsible for that fire.
Come again.
Yeah. I even wrote the article, Ahmed. Because the ministry identified one component, but then the Charcoal Association of Namibia or whatever produces something association came out and identified, by even getting closer and saying who is the culprit for the fire. Because it was a biomass production facility for charcoal. That is biomass production. Charcoal manufacturing as well.
And that went
And then the fire jumped over the fence. And the whole discussion was that they're supposed to have a fire break mechanism. So what is a fire break mechanism? Have you ever seen those large gravel roads?
By the side of the farm.
Not just on farms, but anywhere
seen,
in Namibia.
I've seen them a lot. Yeah, I've seen them a lot on... Oh, yeah. Fire breaks. Yeah, I've seen those ones, yeah.
Have you seen those large gravel roads?
Yeah.
They are super broad. And you sometimes
except
wonder...
where I come from, they're all sandy.
They're all obviously... Yeah, that's just what gravel is. There's the sandy business, you know. Really, the whole idea for those roads is specifically that it potentially helps to break when a bushfire wants to move over to another area.
Yeah.
Then that massive gravel road breaks the fire's particular advancement. Now, the accusation supposedly is that the fire break was not maintained in the national park.
So the fire break was all covered up in very incendiary material.
Exactly. And when this particular farm right next to the national park was busy trying to produce charcoal, a wind picked up, took a little flake, and deposited into the national park.
And the national park dried grass was like, we'll take it from here.
Yeah. And the wind went like, I will be your backup. You can count on me. So that's what biomass creates, dear listeners. That, if the listeners want to know what's the downside of biomass and the role of biomass in Namibia, that's what biomass created. That literally, that's what biomass created.
Yeah.
Now here's the other thing, Helmut, where I asked the philosophic question at the start of our discussion when we stepped in was, and when I said, but this discussion of the circular economy in this notion of energy is sort of like a twisted, not really representative subject matter, because it takes us into a sector that not many Namibians can participate in. But where can Namibians participate in? So when I went from the UN literature that I saw immediately right through it, because I was trying to understand circular economy, just circular economy. And then the European explainer comes up, the European definition or explanation. The European definition, Helmut, literally looks at you, the human, you sitting there, and me. And it accounts for everything that you come in contact with that has to be repurposed and has to be recycled and has to be reused in your economy. So if you wear this t-shirt for too long and you throw it away, that t-shirt has to be recycled, has to be reused in another fabric or in another purpose in the rest of the economy, and it comes back into the system again. So this t-shirt continuously gets recycled and reused until, you know, the actual integrity of the fiber has been depleted. But for some reason, we're starting just once again, which is my biggest bane, my biggest headache. We start from the mining sector, and we start from a sector that every Namibian cannot participate in. And we say this is the sector that every Namibian must now support. But I can see that every Namibian cannot participate in it. Why are we starting a discussion backwards to front, and we don't even understand the context, the subject matter, the assignment, the exercise completely? But we invite a bunch of scientists, and the scientists come talk to you about, no, you know, it's about, you know, putting up, you know, having a power bank everywhere. But they are actually showcasing also, you know what's the weirdest, the funniest thing also? They even showcase in that first presentation, the guy that I am doubting is actually German. That guy. In his presentation, remember at the end of his presentation, he showed a solar power bank and he showed a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? But that's the exact discussion of circular economy. Why are we talking about solar panels? Why are we talking about biomass? That is solar. That's circular economy. It was a comedy show from presentation one up to when our Namibians stood up and I was like, hey, winner, Do these guys know what circular economy means?
So the biggest question is, how do you get everyone in the, everyone in the business ecosystem from small to big to participate in the transition?
Okay, but now why are you still in the energy, Hammer? Why are you still in energy? I can already indicate to you that it's too expensive for you and me. Well, why are we stuck on energy and energy production?
Well, energy is going to be a part of any economic growth.
But we can clearly see that. But we can clearly see that the government wants to have a control mechanism over energy production. Well, it obviously also was showcased in terms of why our energy minister was like drop kicked out of his office back in last month.
Yeah,
which is actually the statement that the president said. The president said any oil exploration activities is under the office of who? La Presidente. Il Presidente. Now, La President.
I think...
How many times must I say that in different languages? Huh? So we already identify, okay, government wants to be in control of energy production. Yes, it's a strategic sector. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not liberalized. Liberalization of energy sector, Hamut, would have been a scenario of allowing any Namibian to be able to put up solar panels at an affordable rate to achieve energy security.
Sometimes you have to raise a Windhoek beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Windhoek Original or Windhoek Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 0.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudini tayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back from that extended break. Really? When did that happen?
You see, it's a pretty engaging conversation.
I know.
Highly engaging.
So, how do you get, how do you get then, asking the question of how do you get, small business owners, for example, to participate in this, in energy transition, takes us back to local content policy discussion.
Okay, for small business owners.
Yeah.
But why are we thinking about small business owners again?
Because the big ones can just, they have a lot of entry points that they can participate in all this whole thing. So,
of course,
just getting the small guys to participate, that's a whole different discussion, because you have to figure out what are their strengths and weaknesses.
But let's say the small business owner is a farm owner, a commercial farm owner, or private farm owner. And that private farm owner says, you know what? I'm out there in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go and install
my own solar panels.
Solar panels on my own, on my own dwellings. And they can do it. They will anyway do it.
Yeah.
Or they have their own little windmill. What's that little thing's name? That windmill pump?
Yeah.
And let's say that farm owner is now MacGyver par excellence on another level from another parallel universe.
Connect the power dynamo on it.
Could make everything and just wind action there on his farm.
Yeah.
Producing electricity to the house. Or to the dwellings, or to whatever equipment. Why are we so fixated on a natural resource that is there, and somehow we have to leave it up to someone to come and now take charge? I mean, if NamPower is serious, and if Ministry of Mines and Energy was serious, Hamid, they would have allowed Kudu Gas to be our be-all and end-all of electricity generation. But there's another subject that we're not addressing that's also present in this discussion of a circular economy. Now, the subject of the circular economy's actual definition, dear listeners, is based upon a concept that has been identified. The take, make, and dispose. Or is it the make, take? No, take, make, and dispose concept. So the take, make, and dispose concept. And it's even a phrase that was used by one of the Namibians in his presentation of this IKERA or ICERA conference. Is a notion based upon everything that you use in your house, everything that you interact with on a daily basis. So I'm talking about things like your smartphone, things like your clothes, things like your sneakers, things like even the toilet paper that you flush down the toilet. Everything has to do with recycling, reusing, repurposing. Everything. Your car. If your car gets totaled in a car accident, or it gets crushed, or you sell it off and no one can buy it because it's too, it gets literally repurposed, crushed, stripped of its particular valuable parts and the likes, gets repurposed and it gets flushed into the system or sold into the system once again to make a new car or to make a new tool or to make a new instrument or a new utensil somewhere else. It should not be a discussion of let's go and look for an iron ore or a deposit of iron ore somewhere. Now we go look for an international investor that must have 300 million to his or her name to come and pay for pay for a seismic survey. What? And then that's going to take another 5 years to actually get the testing and everything done. And then that investor has to go and fly back to their home country. And they've now got to convince people there in their home country that there's this lovely deposit of iron ore, untouched iron ore in the most beautiful part of Namibia. And they'll first ask, who is Namibia? And then they have to come and fly. And then there's this, that thing that we love doing here in Namibia, that photo op situation where people fly and then they come and meet a minister and we the media have to be there to take photos of the said particular handshaking or nice to meet you situation. Which is everything that could have been done over a video conference call or a Zoom call for that matter. And then just to find out it takes another 20 years just for the project to get off the ground. Because something somewhere is happening in some sort of communication channel somewhere between public sector and private sector. Because somewhere people are not seeing each other eye to eye. We could have already had a manufacturing economy based upon this concept of the circular economy. Yes, we could have already had a manufacturing sector. We could have already produced our own underwear and toothpicks. We could have already produced even our own cars, for that matter. We could have already ensured and achieved industrialization
ourselves, by ourselves, with our own means, with our own money, with our own potential, with our, and also at the same time have actually, you know, killed two birds with one stone by being able to upskill our vocational colleges and centrums or centers and being able to source directly skilled Namibians from those centers to work in factories, in these particular factories. Because you've got to look at the clothing that you wear. You've got to look at the plastics you use in your house. You've got to look at the various waste materials that you generate every day as a human, as a human. We don't even have an e-waste approach in Namibia. We could have also repurposed a lot of that e-waste, electronic waste and electronic equipment waste, if we thought about things just clearly. But for some reason, I don't know who's telling who, where, in what capacity of the Namibian government, that to dig a hole, to extract an ore, and then to convince the same investor, you need to refine it in Namibia. They refine it. They say, sure, let's refine it. They refine it. And then you don't show up by empowering another Namibian to technically buy that iron ore to produce something. On that concept alone, dear listeners, we are still not even getting the gist of our industrialization path. We are not. We are definitely missing it. But before we continue, we're going to take a short live read. Vilvichi University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the new programs on offer for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the Master of Public Health Level 9 mode of delivery is distance. The areas of specialization are maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. The application fee is $230. The application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vilvichi University, where everyone is an achiever. Leaving us with about 3 or 4 more minutes to go, dear listeners. The topic is pretty straightforward. The conversation in itself is pretty straightforward. The concept in itself is pretty direct. And we have to actually ask, what are we trying to achieve with a circular economy discussion? Do you know what, guys? Even now that I think about it, with this concept of the circular economy, do you guys know that we could have actually become industrial ourselves just through this concept? Just through this concept. The European context, the European explainer, the European definition, the EU's definition, because Namibia is unfortunately, we're accepting money from the EU for this just energy transition, for this global climate template conversation in the world, because we signed the Samoa Agreement, that's why. And obviously also we are participating in various capacities with the rest of the world, and specifically with the European Union. When you go and look at the circular economy, its benefits, its importance, and its definitions, the European Union in itself produces 2.1 billion tons of waste every year. 2.1 billion tons. It doesn't say what kind of waste. It's a global definition of waste. So it's all manner of waste from all manner of life, from all sectors and all industries. We're not just jumping into renewable energy production. We're not jumping just into green hydrogen production. No. If this European explainer says that the EU produces 2.1 billion tons of waste every year, that's a global label of waste. Secondly, the circular economy is a model of production and consumption which involves sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing, recycling existing materials and products as long as possible. In this way, the life cycle of products is extended. And at that moment, my marketing diploma kicked in. And I sat there thinking, what are we discussing in Namibia, to be frank? Helmut, literally, what are we discussing? This explainer literally speaks towards that, that discussion that they once showcased about innovative production methods in the world, specifically about how certain particular leading companies in the world are technically providing climate-friendly solutions through the products that they sell to their consumers. Now, when I hear the word consumer, I'm thinking about a Helmut, a Dwight, a David, a Happy, a Loise, who else is there? A Matthias.
An HD.
A Hende. You know, Helmut, we're on the radio. You know, we have to use his formal birth certificate, government-issued name. Although the name was actually issued by his parents, but you know, government issued name because it's on an ID, which is government issued. But before that, we've got a short ad break, guys. We come back after that.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
When life gifts you an unexpected breakdown, take control with Express Credit. Borrow $3,000 to $32,000. Same day loan approval. Call 081-9500-500 for more information.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Don't
of
be
its
a silent
staff.
Listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
Welcome back. Now, see, when it comes to, look, every time I hear the word recycling, I start going.
It was already used, and it's being repurposed.
Look, it's a noble idea, but here's the thing. We've been talking about plastic recycling for a very long time, but we have, plastic.
How do you recycle solar panels?
That's a whole another subject.
Now, this is exactly what these guys were talking about at IKERA.
That's another whole subject. Look, the thing about recycling is that it's more often, I think, for the most part, everything that where recycling has been abandoned is because also they like citing that it's expensive. May as well just go ahead to make something new than recycle something old.
But if you now tell someone, listen, use what is already there.
But let's face it. There's one thing that economically makes sense here that we are not talking about, which is an elephant in the room in this whole recycling discussion.
Yeah.
Supply chain.
Of course.
Take, for example, if I make electronic components and I have a mine that's supplying all the, you know, there's a whole supply chain that's starting from a mine and the guys that basically process everything for me to get something usable that I then make into finishing electronic components.
Mm.
I've already said existing supply chain. Now, say just a couple of years in business, I start saying, okay, now, you know what? You guys can just stop supplying me with all that you've been supplying because I think I've, I have enough waste here I can turn into already, I can reuse.
Yeah.
How sustainable is that reusable market compared to the one that you have established, the one you have trusted for a very long time?
Now here's Namibia's picture, Helmut. Yeah. So Namibia has the mine, ne?
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to convince the mining company of the mine.
Geographical wise, yes, Namibia
please
has the mine.
Go and process the ore that you pulled out of the ground at Ntsumeb. Okay. The processing takes plant. So that's the only level of where Namibians are participating through job creation.
That's it.
But there is no one coming along, another Namibian, who is being empowered to say, you know what, I'd like to buy a percentage of what you are busy processing there in Tsumeb, because I'd like to manufacture this thing here. You know, you're still staying in the new supply chain situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing being the brand new taking out of the earth,
yeah,
being processed in Tsumeb.
and then someone just comes on and says, in to avoid that semi-processed thing from being put on a truck or a train and being shipped out at Walvis, I'd like to come in because I want to build a car, or I want to build this, or I want to build this particular sort of like consumer product or this particular machinery.
Yeah.
Now I develop this machinery. A machine, let's say a machine meant to be used in a up-and-coming shoe factory or an up-and-coming something factory. So now I produce that. That literally tells anyone else, wow, so I can bring a factory that can literally buy from this factory that Dwight has positioned that makes specific machinery for my factory, for my needs. But we're not doing that. We are not doing that.
We will someday.
Somehow. You know, I watched the video, and I still reference to this video that I watched on YouTube.
This Scandinavian one?
No, no. It's a South Korean shoe factory.
Yeah.
What happened there, Helmut? At every phase, I try to identify every phase. There's a guy that cuts the leather on a machine. There's a woman that literally forms the leather around us, a mold, you know, a shoe mold in terms of the shape that the shoe has to take. There's a guy in a machine that has to cut the sole of the shoe. And then there's a machine and a guy that has to literally stitch the leather into the sole sole frame.
Yeah.
And that's a, and that itself is a factory that is essential for everyday life. It makes a shoe.
We have one of those, except ours is gathering dust somewhere
in Ngurunguru.
Yep.
And the other one that was in Kitmans, we don't know what that thing is actually producing, because that same report said, we don't know why this guy moved from one location to the other.
We have one with the genuine leather that lasts forever, fresh.
No, a tannery is not. Yeah, but a tannery is a kind of a factory. The inputs that are owned by the volunteer labor force, which I still want to understand. How do you have a volunteer labor force? People still have to come and explain to me, what is a volunteer labor force?
I mean, it's self-explanatory. You know, someone.
I'm about to laugh. I will not mention names. yeah.
My example.
That punchline is too hard.
Now, look,
but yeah.
If a volunteer labor force, these guys that just will volunteer to be there, and they'll be like, no, don't worry, we'll take it. We know that you guys made this thing and you forgot to fence it off.
Yeah, and we know so, you forgot that actually what we are processing in there is actually ours, né? So don't try to take ownership of it.
Yeah.
We own it. But we don't own what is in the septic tank.
No, that's not ours.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, when you came here, you found, you know, that cowhide still fresh, but don't ask. Long story. Very divine one. 6 minutes into business and economic segment, I don't know about you, but this makes it the end of my Friday, for me at least work-wise, so time to go out there and do what I do best, socialize virtually. Mm. I like my physical safety.
Mm.
Yeah. So until Sunday, same time, same place, same place, different time on Eagle FM.
Let's see each other again, dear listeners, and enjoy the rest of your programming in our company.
Up next is Business and Economic segment with David Shombe. Stay tuned.